Are you ready for what God has in store for you tonight? Then join me on the first night of this campaign to welcome Vivaldi to prepare our hearts with some music.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you believe Jesus is in this place, kindly lift up your right hand. And if you believe that Jesus will touch you tonight, lift up the left one and put your hands together for Jesus.
And sick time had he made me free. Oh, oh, ek praise ina, ek love ina.
Lift up your right hand.
Vivaldi, clap your hands tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm excited to inform you that a son of Africa has been sent to Africa. Cape Town is blessed this week to receive the ministry of an international healing evangelist that God has used over the nations of the world. And this week, God chose you to receive His power, His deliverance, and His mercy. Tonight, as the evangelist ministers, I believe that the power of God will come mightily into your life. What God has used Him to do over the nations of the world will happen practically physically here on these grounds. If you are ready and excited, please rise your feet on this five
lines.
Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your power that is here already. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Heal us. Deliver us. Save us. Bring us to salvation. Thank you for your great power that is manifested here. In the name of Jesus, we arrest every power of wickedness. We arrest every power of darkness. We bind the spirit of the accuser. In the name of Jesus, we release the angels of the Lord, the saving angels into Mitchell's Plain, the powerful angels of the Lord into this environment to execute the will and the commandment of Almighty God. Thank you, Father, for your blessing that is here today in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. You may be seated if you have a seat. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here tonight. I first of all want to thank the wonderful pastors of Cape Town for welcoming us into your beautiful city and into Mitchell's Plain. God bless you. It's a privilege for us to be here with you. We thank you for your support. We also thank the government and the Minister for Safety and so on who have really helped this program to come on. Amen. How many believe that God is going to touch your life in these 3 days? Tonight is the beginning of miracles in Mitchell's Plain. And God is going to do wonderful things in your life and in this city. It is a time of blessing and a visitation from the Lord for you personally. So I want your hearts to be open. Before these 3 days are over, you'll see the power of God practically in your life. Hallelujah. Tonight my message is entitled, Why Your Soul is Important. Why Your Soul is Important. Amen. And I'm reading from the words of Jesus Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. So I'm preaching about why your soul is important. And Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. Your soul is important tonight because it is the inner man or the real man who will live on forever when your body is no longer living. Our man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. So you are not just what you see. You are made up of a spirit, a soul, and you are living inside your body. So the real you is inside you, looking out through the two windows. And the two windows are your two eyes. So your body, which you can pinch and which you can feel, is actually just a house that houses you, the real you. The real you is what you call your soul, or the inner man. So Jesus is saying, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and the real man inside is lost or goes to hell? That is a tragedy. So your soul is important, very important, because that is really who you are. And you will notice that as you get older, you don't even feel older in your mind. You sort of feel the same age. And it's because the soul is not getting older in that sense. Your soul will live forever. And forever you will be you. And in 1,000 years from now, you will be you. So that's the real person. The real you is right there inside. Okay? So it is very important that you are aware that there is no benefit in gaining the whole world and losing your soul. Whenever I think of this scripture, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his soul, I think of people who seem to have gained the world. They seem to have accomplished everything that is fantastic and wonderful to us. But Jesus said, there is nothing valuable enough that you can give in exchange for your soul. Whenever I hear of a famous person having died, I think about this scripture. Because when you become famous, it looks like you've gained the world. I was recently in Jamaica and I visited the house of Bob Marley. It's one of the famous places to visit in Jamaica. And we were taken around a tour on a tour in the house and told about the life of Bob Marley. That's actually the first place President Obama visited when he went to Jamaica. And we heard about all the fame that Bob Marley had. And from a very poor slum in Jamaica, he rose to become a superstar. And every time I think of such superstars, I remember this verse, that what shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? So every time I think of these famous people, I hope their souls are not lost. Because it's not worth gaining the whole world and losing your soul. So your soul is important because your soul can be lost. Yeah. Your soul can be lost. And that's very dangerous. I remember when Princess Diana died. I was in Ghana. And it was a Sunday morning. And we got the news that the princess, the beautiful princess of Wales, was suddenly dead in Paris. Then this scripture comes to mind again. She was a nursery school teacher. She wasn't really educated. She married the prince. All girls here would like to marry the prince. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have the nicest wedding? And marry the prince himself. Yeah. Some of you are married and you are already angry with the person you married. But she seemed to have gained the whole world. She married the prince. She had the most famous wedding in Westminster Chapel in London. Everybody in the world was there, all the film stars. She owned a castle. When she died, in her will, she gave her castle. You see, some of you, if you die, you don't even have a house to give to somebody. But she gave a castle to her children. She gave a castle. She was swimming in different pools and lakes in France, fornicating with her boyfriend all over the world. Yes. She seemed to have gained the whole world. And the question is, it comes to mind, what about if the person has lost his soul? Wow. What a shock. What a shock it would be for such a person to descend into hellfire. Hey! Yeah. Amazing. Our president, we had a president a few years ago, he died. We had the news that our president was dead. Again, not many people can become the president. And it seemed he had gained the whole world. So again, this scripture comes to mind. What shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? So all these people, I hope their souls are not lost, because your soul is important, because your soul can be lost. You have also had some presidents who are not alive. Yeah. Where are they? And again, this scripture comes to mind. That what is it to gain everything And could it be that the soul is lost? Yeah. The richest people in the world who have everything. When Michael Jackson died, again, this scripture came to my mind. You know, Michael Jackson was 25 years old when he made the song Thriller. He was 25. He became a billionaire, the biggest selling song ever. And he became a billionaire. He was just 25 years old. Yeah. So, what does it profit a man if he is to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And or Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Like, is there anything you can give in exchange for your soul? There's nothing. So your soul is important because your soul can also be destroyed. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So your soul is destroyed when your soul goes to hell. There is a place called hell. And the Bible is saying, what can a man give in exchange for going, letting your soul go to hell? There is nothing, I tell you. Your soul is important because your soul can die. Ezekiel 18 verse 4 says, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So your soul is very important, and it is really the real you. And your soul is important because it can be required from you at any time. Jesus spoke about a parable of a man. He said the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And this man thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have nowhere to keep all my money and my gold and my silver that I have in Mitchell's Plain. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. So soul, take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So, be happy. Do whatever you want to do. Steal, kill, take drugs, alcohol, fool around, do whatever you want to do. But then one day, God said from heaven, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of thee. So your soul is important because your soul can be required to come out of your body on any day. And nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the day. Some people just lost their lives in Paris. They were watching They were at a concert. And the concert was being organized by a group called Eagles of Death. Eagles of Death. None of them thought that that was the night their soul would be required of them. No. One night I went for a crusade in Senegal, and I was flying from Senegal, from Dakar, on Air France. I was flying back to Paris out of Dakar. I was going somewhere else from a crusade. And the flight left around 11 p.m., 10, 11. And at about 2 a.m., we were on board the flight. We were flying over the Sahara Desert. And suddenly there was an announcement on the plane. Is there a doctor? Is there any doctor on board? If you are a doctor, could you please introduce yourself now? And I thought to myself, I'm a doctor, but I'm sleeping. So I lay down quietly, hoping that another doctor would answer. But after some time, I heard the announcement again. If you are a doctor, please, can you identify yourself? So reluctantly, I lifted up my hand. I said, I'm here. And then they said, can you please come with us? And there I went into the business class department of the plane. And there was a man sitting there. He was sitting by his father. And the son said, this is my father. The son was sitting by the window and the father was sitting by the aisle. And his son said, this is my father, a white man, a Frenchman. He said he ate. We were talking. We ate dinner. And then he sat back to rest. And now he's not talking. He's not moving. So, doctor, what can you do? So I put on the stethoscope and so on, and I checked, and I said, he's dead. Yeah. Right over the Sahara Desert on Air France, Boeing 777. His soul was required of him in the middle of the flight. He was going home. I don't know where he was going, but he was going somewhere. He had eaten, he had drunk. He's relaxing. His son is sitting by him. He's in business class. And they say, now. Hey! Your soul is important because your soul can be required from you at any time. Do you think Princess Diana, that night, Saturday night, she was with her boyfriend, having a good time in Paris, drinking wine and eating steak? Do you think she was imagining that evening, by tomorrow morning, she would be either in heaven or in hell? No. Do you think that she had any idea that the next Saturday was her funeral? She had no idea that this was coming up. So, ladies and gentlemen, many of us live on this earth as though there is no soul within you. Jesus told us a story of a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fed sumptuously every day. And the Bible talks about a poor man, a poor beggar called Lazarus. And it came to pass that this poor Lazarus was being bitten by the dogs and so on, and he died first. According to the Bible, poor people usually die earlier than rich people. Yes. The life expectancy in Japan is about 80 or 90 years. You know, but in Africa, some countries, it's just about 35 and so on. Yeah. So, the poor man died. And the Bible says he was carried by angels. You see, but by all means, if you had been at the poor man's funeral, that is, if anybody even came for the funeral, you would have seen his body going into the ground. In fact, one day I attended a poor man's funeral. Actually, I wasn't going for this funeral. I was going to one of our church members had died. But then somebody showed me, look at this truck. What do you call a pickup here? A bucky. Yeah. So I went there, and there at the back of the bucky were bodies. And they were just lifting them up one after the other. And I said, who are these? He said, oh, these are poor people who nobody has come to claim that they are their relatives. Like, when you die, they say, we don't know him. We don't know him at all. So the government should know what to do because we don't know you. They don't have relatives. Poor people don't have friends. Hey. And they were throwing one Lazarus after another into the grave. Nobody would even come. But the Bible says Lazarus was in heaven with Abraham. So it means that his soul was still alive. And the rich man died. Later, he was maybe in London or America somewhere having treatment. And he also died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. You see, he still had eyes even though he was dead. And he seeth Abraham far off. So he can still see. The soul can see. The soul is alive. That's why Jesus was saying, look, if you get everything in the world and the soul, which is the real person who will continue to live on, dies and goes to hell, there is nothing that is worth that. So the rich man was still alive. He could see. And he saw Abraham. And he cried with his voice box, larynx. That means he still had a vocal cord to cry out. If he had vocal cords, he still had a neck. Yes. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He could still speak his language. So if you go to hell, if you are here tonight and you go to hell, you will speak your language. If it's Afrikaans or whatever, you will be speaking it to say, yes! You will scream in Afrikaans. You will cry in Afrikaans. You will do everything in that language. He seeth Abraham far off. And he cried, have mercy on me, for I am tormented. Tormented means that he still had, nerves. Nerves and, nerve endings, receptors, skin, pain. He was tormented. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame. Then he said, send Lazarus. If Lazarus was to come, Lazarus must either have legs to be able to come. Is it not true? To bring me water that I may dip my finger and cool my tongue. Finger. That means the finger is attached to a hand. And the hand is attached to an arm. And the arm is attached to the body. Hey! Voila. And just a small one. You don't have a small one. He said, dip this in water. Dip this in water. Huh? That I may cool my tongue. That the tongue is in the mouth. So it means you still have a mouth. Hey! Your soul is important because your soul is the real you. He looks just like you. And in hell he lifted his eyes. Said, Father Abraham, have mercy. I'm tormented. I'm thirsty. Thirsty? Thirsty? I thought it's only on earth that you feel thirsty. Yeah. Hey. There are people today as I'm speaking, their soul is just asking for one of this. Yes. Some of us are fathers, mothers, sisters, relatives, rich men, poor men, you have no idea. He said, send Lazarus that he may cool my tongue. And Father Abraham said, no. Because if you go to hell, every answer will be no. When you are here, the answer is yes. When you say, Jesus, come to my house, Jesus will say, yes, I'm coming. But when you go down there, every answer is no. Send Abraham, send Lazarus, no. Then he said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now thou art tormented and he is comforted. Listen carefully, those of you who mock when we are preaching. Be careful. Those who make fun of the church and make fun of the word of God. It will not be funny on that day. No, 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 no. He says, son, remember. Remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime. Remember when you were in Mitchell's Plain. Remember what you had. Remember the good things that you had. You will remember. Hey. You will remember. You will remember. You will remember my face. You will remember that I came all the way. That we spent a lot of money to come here. To come and preach to you. Then he changed his mind and he said, okay, if you can't send him here, please send him to my father's house. I have 5 brothers in Mitchell's Plain. They are just like me. They behave just as how I behave. They are the same. And I know they are all coming here. 5 brothers in Mitchell's Plain. And he said, they have the prophets. The pastors. So I hope the pastors are preaching not only about money, but about heaven and hell. They said, the prophets. The prophets are going to tell them. Hey! Yeah. Prophets are going to tell them. Listen, my friend. You know, it may sound funny, but it's not funny. You can make fun, but I tell you. No, people have always made fun of me. Yeah. When I was in school, in the medical school, the university, people made fun of me when I was preaching. Yeah. They made fun of me. Even my lecturers, the professors. But I remember one day I had a phone call from one of my professors. Not him directly, through somebody. And he said, Professor so-so and so wants to see you. I said, me?
these people, this man, these people make fun of us because I was preaching. When I was in school, they made fun of me, called me names, said I was mad. But now, I had a call. Professor so-and-so wants to see you. I said, wow. And I said, oh, I don't think it's a mistake. They want to see somebody else. But I had another call and another call. I had about 5 calls. Then I told my wife, you know, I better go and look for this professor. So I found his house. When I knocked on the gate, I said, is this Professor so-and-so's house? He said, yes. Is he there? Yes. Can I come in to see him? Yes. I came in. And I sat in the living room. And I waited. There was nobody in the house. And suddenly the door opened. And there came the professor. He was pushed in on a wheelchair. And he was pushed right in front of me. And I stood up. I said, Professor, what is this? And I realized quickly that he wanted me to talk to him, reach to him, and help him, pray for him. I prayed for him. I preached to him. I led him to Jesus. When I told him, pray this after me, I didn't know that his speech was even gone. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can make fun. But you see, when you see the gate of eternity coming, it's not that funny anymore. It's not that funny anymore. No. Tonight, everybody here must ask yourself, what will happen to you when you die? Heaven or hell, which one will be your home? I once went to a prison, and I tell you, I've been to many prisons preaching. When you go to prison, nobody in the prison is praying for a car, or for a house, or for a job. No, 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 no. They only have one prayer topic. I want to be free. I want to come out. But there is a prison above all prisons. There is no water. The Bible says it's better to give your arm than to go to that place. And that is why Jesus Christ came. Many people don't know why Jesus came. Jesus came, the Bible says, to save us from our sins. Because what is going to take us to hell? The Bible said the soul that sins will die. The soul that sins will die. Your sins, the wages of your sin, the payment for your sin is death. Yeah. I once met a brother who told me every time he was arrested by the police, they let him go because his face was so innocent looking. I'm sure he's here somewhere. He said, every time the police come, they look at my face and say, no, he cannot be, this cannot be a gangster. He's a child. But he was the main criminal. Hey! You may fool men, but you can't fool God. Yeah. When you go before God, there will be an x-ray. Everything comes out clear. You may be able to fool your mother, fool your father, but you cannot fool God. And that is why we are here tonight, to tell you and to warn you that your soul is very important. Yeah, that's why I'm preaching. You may wonder why we've come here. We are not looking for anything. We came to give you a very strong warning about heaven and hell, and to tell you to turn away from your sins and stop fooling. And stop fooling with God. God is not a fool. Yeah. God may be quiet. If God wanted to frighten you, he would just draw the heavens apart and smile like this. You will be frightened out of your wits. You will never forget the fright that will happen to you in this Mitchell's plane. I tell you, you'll be so scared. You look up and you see the teeth of God, God's teeth, smiling at you. And you know that there is a God. But God has chosen that people should be saved by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away your sins? What can wash away your sins? What can wash away our mistakes? The blood of Jesus. And those of us who claim to be Christians, it's time to stand up and become real Christians. And to stand up and to stand for the Christ you claim to be following. And those of us who are pastors as well. Yes. The soul is the most important part of you. Not your flesh. Not your house. Not your car. All those things are for your body. But your soul is very important. Yes, you may make fun. But the time is coming soon. You'll not be laughing. People have called for me when they were dying. I've been called a number of times. Anyone is dying, they call for me. Because they remember. I said, look, give your life to God. But they got angry when I spoke. Don't get angry when I come to help you and warn you. Jesus said they have the prophets. Let them hear the prophets as they speak. I'm telling you about heaven and hell. You need to turn around and come to God. Yes, you need to turn around and come to the cross. And change. This is what God is saying to you tonight. Your soul is very important. Jesus Christ came to this world for one reason. He didn't come to make us rich. He came to save us from our sins. And tonight, I see the blood of Jesus flowing all through Mitchell's plain. Jesus wants to save you from your sins. We are all sinners. This is the time when Jesus will say yes. 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 Lord, forgive me. Yes, I forgive you. Lord, I'm coming home. Yes, come home. Lord, I've changed my mind. Yes. Everything will be yes. But when the time passes, the answer will be no. Sorry. Too late. Too late. There is a guy, you know, he was invited to church 1,000 times. Every time he will laugh, you say, oh, I'll come, I'll come, I'll come. Do you have people like that in Mitchell's Plain? Come to church, oh, you guys go, I'll come later. Do you have people like that here? Finally, one day he came. And this occasion when he came, it was a large service. The choir sang powerfully, just like this choir. But he didn't even bother to clap. Yeah. The preacher preached powerfully. And this guy, not even a word of amen. Not even hallelujah. When the pastor did the altar call, he didn't lift his hand. He didn't go for nothing, no response. Amazing. And he had been invited many times. He didn't come. It was only this time that he came. Do you want to know why he didn't say even one amen? Do you want to know why he didn't even clap when the choir sang? Do you really want to know? Because it was his funeral. You see, it was his funeral that he was attending. He was in the coffin. That is why he didn't say amen. He was in the coffin. That is why he didn't clap. He was in the coffin. That is why he didn't even lift his hand to give his life to Jesus. Because he had been invited 1,000 times and he made fun of it until the last day on this earth. He was in the coffin. He had been brought there by his relatives. Ladies and gentlemen, your soul is very important. And tonight, in these 3 days, your soul is more important than your body. You must ask yourself, if I have to leave this earth today, where will I go? Heaven or hell? Which one will be my permanent home? Hey! Will you join the rich man and start screaming, "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" No. This is your opportunity to be saved and to be healed. Stand to your feet, everybody. Close your eyes for a moment. Nobody should move. Nobody should walk because I'm just praying. Tonight is a night of salvation and of healing. Don't walk around, please. Don't move around. We'll be closing very soon. But I want you to just listen carefully. As every head is bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today, you want to give your life to God. Maybe your soul has not been so important to you, but tonight you want to say, "Pastor, evangelist, I don't want my soul to be lost in hell. I don't want to be the person at the funeral who doesn't even know God. Jesus died for you because Jesus loves you." If you are here tonight, you want to turn around. If you want something easy, then this is not it. If you think it's going to be easy, forget it. To live for Jesus isn't easy. But if you are here tonight, you want to say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to turn around and come to God today. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ." If you are here like that, you don't want to go to hell. You want to have God. Listen to me. This may be the last time you hear something like this. I'm pleading for your soul. God loves you. God wants to save you. That's why God sent us here. You want to give your life to Jesus today. You want your sins to be washed away tonight. Then lift up your right hand wherever you are standing. Lift up your right hand wherever you are standing. "Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God in this place." Your hands must be up. All your hands must be up if you want to give your life to God, to Jesus tonight. God bless you. I see so many hands. Thousands of hands. This is your night of salvation. God is calling you. God is saving you tonight. Come to the cross. If your hand is lifted up, if your hand is not lifted up, you are wondering, "Should I give my life to God or not?" This is your chance. This is it. This is it. This is it. Don't say you didn't hear. Don't say you didn't know. Don't say no one spoke to you. Don't say you didn't hear about it. This is the chance. Then your hand must be up. God bless you. God bless you. You are not sure. Then your hand must be up. Your hand must be up. Whoever you are, you need to give your life to Jesus. If your hand is up, come to me in the front. Come from where you are standing. Come all the way to the front. I want to pray with you. Walk from wherever you are. Come all the way. Come all the way. Let me pray with you right here. Come to Jesus. Your soul is important. Your soul is important. Your soul is important. With your hand lifted up high, keep your hand up high and come. Come, come, come from the back. Come from the side. Come from wherever. I want to come to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. I know my soul is important. Keep coming. Come from wherever you are. I want Jesus to save me. Come on, my friend. Why would you want to go to hell? Come on, my brother. Come to the cross. Come to the blood.
come to Jesus. Tonight is your night. God is saving you. God is changing you. Clap for them as they come. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Tonight, God is visiting you. God is calling you. God is saving you. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come from the back. Come from wherever. Tonight, this is your night of salvation. Come on, my friend. God wants to change your life. God wants to save you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Clap for them. Clap for them. From the side. Way over there. Way over there. Come. Come. Your soul is important. Your soul is important. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Encourage them as they come. Keep clapping. Clap for them. Can you move this way? Can you move this way? We are waiting for you all on the side. Your soul, your soul. Your soul is very important. Don't say you didn't know. Don't say you didn't hear. Jesus is saving you tonight. Your soul, your soul. Your soul is important. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Hallelujah. All of you that have come to the front, keep quickly. All those on the side, please come very quickly. Don't delay at all. Come. All right. Lift your hands up now. All of you have come. If you've come all the way to the front, your hand must be up. All those on the side, everywhere, your hand must be high up. Say this prayer with me. And everyone also lift your hand and join and say this prayer. If you came to the front, lift your hand up. You walk to the front and say this prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for tonight. I realize that I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Oh God, I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, Jesus, thank you for saving me tonight. I am turning around. Say, I'm turning around. Say, I am turning around. I'm coming to the cross. Oh God, have mercy on me. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Tonight, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master. Oh God, I am sorry. I am repenting. Now, have mercy on me. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name in the book of life. I give my life, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Now say after me, Satan. Satan, listen carefully. From tonight, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And I will serve Jesus. I belong to God. Satan, I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus. And I will serve Jesus. Everybody lift your two hands. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Say I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. From tonight, I will serve God. And I'll follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody shout at Amen. Hallelujah.